Coming to you live from the Retroist Vault, Retro Radio Memories is on the air.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Retro Radio Memories podcast. I'm Vic Sage, and I'm afraid that I'm your sole host for this episode, as the projectionist has kept himself down on level 9 of the Retroist Vault ever since we got back from that trip from Haddonfield. For your listening pleasure this week, we have an episode from the Blackstone The Magic Detective radio series entitled, fittingly enough, Phantom Detective. The show, which was broadcast on the Mutual Broadcasting Network, focused on the real-life magician Harry Blackstone Sr., and with the 13 to 14 minute episodes, they were handled as if they were a past adventure that Blackstone, played by Ed Jerome, was telling his friends, John, played by Ted Osborne, and Rhoda, played by Frank Carlin. He would also appear at the end of an episode with a trick that the listeners could perform for their own friends and family. Perhaps more exciting than the episode itself is the identity of the writer for the series, who was none other than Walter B. Gibson, who also ghost-wrote the pulp novels for Blackstone Sr. That name may sound familiar to you Retro Radio Memories fans. Gibson was the main writer for the Shadow pulp novels, creating over 300 novels for the Shadowy Avenger. It makes sense that Gibson did the ghostwriting for Blackstone Sr., as the author was also a professional magician himself. Now, just before we start the show, a little word of warning. This particular radio broadcast is rather crunchy, so I hope you'll bear with the less than perfect audio. Now let's join Blackstone and Rhoda as they visit Mountain City and cross paths with a very villainous saboteur on Retro Radio Memories.
Magic Detective, starring the world's greatest living magician, Blackstone. He tells you the inside story of the Phantom Detective. And right after the story, Blackstone will explain tricks that you yourself can perform. Reveal the guarded secrets of the world's greatest living magician. Blackstone, the Magic Detective.
Ellen, lend me that derby you persist in wearing, will you?
Well, if you promise not to ruin it for me. Not so sure I trust you with my hat. Last time I let you play tricks with it, you got everything but the kitchen sink out of it.
Well, I promise I won't hurt your precious hat.
Not that it wouldn't please me if you wrecked it.
Hello, that's a fine way to talk.
Me, I just plain don't like derbies.
I think you've made that fairly obvious by this time. Well, anyway, here's the hat, Blackstone. Do your worst with it.
Thank you. I put this hat down on the floor like this, and I say a few magic words. Magikiarum. Magikiarum. And then I wave my hands back and forth over the hat like this, and presto!
Great Scott, the hat's moving all around the floor. Roland, look at the darn thing.
I'm looking.
Well, do you know how he does this? It's the uncanniest thing I've ever seen.
I think I've got a hunch. It's the same principle as the thing that happened in Mountain City, isn't it, Blackstone?
You're on the right track, Rhoda.
Well, I'm not on any track at all.
You usually ain't.
Oh, I give up. Tell me, how do you make my nice new derby travel around like a snail shell, complete with snails?
That's what your hats always remind me of, snails.
We'll ignore that crack, won't we, Helen? Well, Mountain City was an old mining town that had been deserted for years. There had been gold there once, a little gold, but the mine had been too expensive to work. So, gradually, the town was deserted. The shacks fell to ruin, and there was no one there but the bats in the forest, gradually taking back the land that had once belonged to it. Then, one day, the mine started to be worked again, but not for gold, for new riches, for tungsten. Rhoda and I were scheduled to play the town. I was sitting in my room at the one hotel when Rhoda knocked on the door. Come in.
Golly, what a town.
How was the stage?
Well, the local yokels may call it a stage, but I don't. Why, you could no more do one of your illusions on that stage than fly out the window. Need for the big cities after this.
And you've got to remember, Rhoda, that just a few months ago, this was a Monster Pete ghost town. Nobody lived here.
Well, for all of me, nobody lives here now. Did you hear that door creak when I just opened it? Listen. Listen to that door. And they call this a hotel.
Whoop, oh, there goes Flippo.
Oh, catch him. No, wait a minute. I'll get him.
He's over here.
Yes, I got him.
Good. Oh, he's eating his way out of that basket case.
Oh, this darn rabbit. He's the worst one we ever had. You can't keep him penned up for love nor money.
Well, let him play around the room while we get the stuff ready to take over to the theater.
Well, you're not going to take much, are you? There just isn't room on that crumbling old stage for more than you and a deck of cards. And I'm not even sure about getting you on.
I'm beginning to think you aren't too fond of Mountain City, the beautiful.
I should say I'm not. Tell me, Blackstone, what on earth are we doing in this hole? It's not like you to play a town as small as this.
Well, I'll tell you, Rhoda. It seems there's a saboteur loose in this country named Schondorf.
Huh?
The FBI has reason to suspect that he's out here near these new tungsten mines.
Are we working for the FBI now?
No, but Jerry Thornton is.
He and the new assistant on the show?
That's right. We're here to cover for him.
Well, I'll be darned.
Oh, that's probably him now. Hello? Oh, hello, Jerry. Why, certainly. We can get along without you at the matinee. From what Rhoda says about the theater, there wouldn't be room for you anyway. I hope you really have got to leave, Jerry. That Schondorf should be behind bars. Good luck, my boy. Yes, that was Jerry.
Yeah.
He's got a lead on Schondorf down at the mines. I told him we wouldn't need him at the matinee.
Not at the matinee nor at the evening show. There just isn't room for him.
Well, come on. We'd better get some stuff together to take down there.
Okay.
We'll just use the smallest act. Take that vanishing lamp and
mm-hmm.
the big vase and...
Oh, what about Flippo?
The rabbit?
Uh-huh.
Oh, we'll have to use him. A magic act is no good without at least one rabbit trick.
Well, I better leave him here and come back for him just before the show goes on, or he'll get out and race all over the place.
Okay. Shut him in the closet.
There you are, Flippo, all safe in a nice black closet. Now, for goodness sake, stay there.
Are you ready, Rhoda?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost matinee time, and it's...
Stay where you are.
I beg your pardon?
I said stay where you are, Mr. Blackstone.
Well, you can't order a...
And, sir? Then perhaps this gun will make you obey.
Who are you?
You do not know me, but I know you well. And I know your so-called assistant, too.
You mean me?
You. I mean the man you call Jerry Thornton. Jerry Thornton of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, it's Schondorf.
At your service.
What is your scheme, Schondorf?
It is very simple, really. I want you to tell me where Mr. Thornton is at the moment.
You can't make us tell that.
I think I can. We have means of making people tell us what we want to know. I will take your wrist, Fräulein, and turn it ever so gently, and then... then I think you would tell me anything I wanted.
Don't you dare lay a hand on her.
There's nothing you can do to stop me, Herr Blackstone. Where's the FBI agent?
He's...
Don't tell Blackstone.
I have to tell. I can't let him hurt you, Rhoda.
Well, never mind about me. He'll kill us anyway.
We'll think about that later.
I will thank you to keep still for a while. Yes, Herr Blackstone. Where is he?
He's in the closet right behind you. He's pushing his gun through the crack of the door.
Not very clever, Herr Blackstone. You think I would fall for an old trick like that one? Oh, no, my friend.
But that door's moving. Really moving.
Oh, no. That is your imagination, Fräulein. I can see the door in that mirror there. It is not moving. But enough playing. Tell me where he is.
That door did move, Rhoda. It's opening. Come out, Jerry. Come out firing.
I see you, Thornton. I see you there in the closet.
Quick, here's the dirt lamp. I've got the bars. We've got him. He's unconscious.
Yeah, but Jerry... He shot Jerry.
No, Rhoda. He shot my hat and coat.
Say, tell me, Blackstone, how did you get the door to open just when you wanted it to?
Have you forgotten Flippo and his happy tendency? You know, to break out of anything he's penned up in?
You mean Flippo opened the door with his itty-bitty nose?
Alan wants to play.
I'm a gay. Yes, he does. Well, anyway, Schondorf shot at my hat and coat that were hanging in the closet. He never thought to look at the floor where there was a small white rabbit.
Now I'm beginning to understand how you made my hat scamper across the floor. Was Flippo under it, trying to nose his way out of there, too?
That's right.
One thing I don't get.
Well, what's that?
How did you get the rabbit into my hat without my seeing you do it?
That's the magician's secret, Alan.
Oh, another one of those things you won't tell us, huh?
That's right. But here's a trick I can tell you. First, I want an ordinary glass.
Here's one.
And next, a coin.
Will a nickel do?
It will do.
Then here you are. Anything else, Blackstone?
Yes, a dollar bill, which I shall personally supply.
Glad you're supplying it.
Now, watch our problem unfold.
We're watching.
First, I lay the dollar bill on the table. Now, let's have the glass.
Yeah, it's right here.
Next, we set the glass on the dollar bill near one end of the bill.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, take the nickel, Alan, and balance it on the rim of the glass.
Oh, that's not very easy.
Well, try it carefully, Alan. And if you miss, begin again.
I got it. But say, the slightest shake would jar that nickel off the glass rim.
Oh, I'll say it would.
Well, that makes the trick all the more wonderful. I'm going to take the dollar bill from under the glass without having the coin fall.
Oh, you can't. Why, the moment you try to pick up the glass...
But I'm not going to touch the glass, Rhoda.
Huh?
That's another condition of the trick.
You mean you can't touch the glass?
No, I can't touch the glass.
What about the coin?
I can't touch the coin either.
Say, this is impossible. The most impossible thing imaginable.
Well, stretch your imagination further, Rhoda, and see if you can figure it out.
And if I can't?
If you can, I'll be back in a few minutes to show you exactly how it can be done. Rhoda, how are you making out with the glass and dollar bill?
Oh, it looks more impossible than ever. I don't believe anybody can take a dollar bill from under a glass without touching the glass.
And particularly with that coin balanced on the rim. That's the hard part, Blackstone.
Oh, I'll say it is.
I'll say it is.
I just said that.
I know.
Now, Blackstone, if you tried to pull away the dollar bill, the glass would joggle and the coin would fall into it.
Only you don't pull the dollar bill, Rhoda. Just watch what I do with it. Like this.
Well, you're beginning to roll the dollar bill, starting with the long end.
That's right, Rhoda. Rolling it just like a carpet.
But your fingers will touch the glass.
Not when I keep them out the sides of the bill, like this. Now the rolling bill has reached the glass.
And now what, Blackstone?
I keep right on rolling the bill, rolling it right against the glass.
But look, the glass is sliding forward.
Oh, no, it isn't, Rhoda. The glass is too heavy for it. What's happening is the dollar bill is being drawn out from under the glass.
You're right, Alan. The short end is coming out from under. Of course, the glass is moving a bit, but not enough to jolt the coin from the rim.
Say, that's perfect, and yet so simple.
Which makes it simply perfect, Rhoda. Out comes the dollar bill. Here it is. And the trick is done. I hope you like that trick, ladies and gentlemen. And until next time, this is Blackstone saying good magic and goodbye.
Next time when the world's greatest living magician, Blackstone, tells the story of the riddle of the seven zombies and explains more tricks that you yourself can perform. Listen in again to Blackstone, the world's greatest living magician.
Welcome back, listeners. While I'm glad that Blackstone and Rhoda were able to apprehend Trendorf, I'm more glad that Flippo wasn't harmed when the saboteurs started shooting in the closet. I think that about wraps up our episode for this week. Friends, we hope you remember that you can listen to the Retro Radio Memories podcast almost every Sunday over at The Retroist. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. The music we use at the beginning and ending of our show was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you may contact him by email at peachy@retroist.com. A big thanks to The Retroist is in order, of course. When you need your retro fix, just hop on over to The Retroist at www.retroist.com. Until next time, the Retro Radio Memories podcast is off the air. Good magic, and goodbye. This has been a Retroist production.